Well, good morning. This is the Lou Rockwell Show, and how great to have as a guest this morning Mr. Ralph Weber. Ralph is president and CEO of MetaBid, a company that seeks to bring the free market back into medical care, an amazing idea, of course. I always think that when my dad was a doctor, and this is just what I always thought as a kid, just normal medical practice, where the physician was actually responsible to the patient who was paying him, and you didn't have the government intervene. Of course, now we have, just as in Canada, we have a terrible regime coming and making things even worse. America has had, corporatist and socialist elements to medical care for a very long time. Ralph is from Vancouver. He was born in Vancouver, Canada. He saw some of the problems of that medical system involving members of his family, and he decided to do something about it. He's author of Medicrats. We're going to link to that, and we'll link to his website, of course, too. But Ralph, tell us about MetaBid and your vision and what you think this company can do.
Okay. Good morning, Lou. MetaBid was started when my wife was crippled in Canada by a 2.5-year wait for surgery, okay, with the socialized medicine. Canada is only one of two true single-payer systems in the world. North Korea is the other one. And in those two countries, it's illegal to pay a doctor for medical care, period, okay? So we left and moved back to California, which is where she's from. So we moved to California. We had the surgery done. We were in Thailand at the time that Obama was elected the first time. We were inspecting hospitals because we were sending a lot of our Canadian patients to the U.S. for care. And we went to Thailand to investigate medical tourism. Now, I actually grew up in Thailand. I spent 10 years there as a kid. So Thailand has a very, very open free market system. You know, the political system right now is volatile. It always has been. But the current regime is a fascist regime, which they are kicking out. And this sort of libertarian conservative party is taking over.
No, wow.
Yeah, it's great. And when that doesn't work, they have a coup. That happens once in a while, too. So anyway, when we saw that Obama was elected, we said, okay, we're going to get the same thing that we have in Canada or some version thereof. That's going to happen pretty soon. So that's when we really started to formalize what we had been doing for a few years already and build MetaBid. Now, MetaBid does a few things. Initially, you know, we were bringing Canadians to the U.S. for care. But when we started talking to our U.S. clients that have health insurance, we realized, and you use the word corporatist, I use a, you know, slightly stronger word, which is fascist, okay?
It is fascist, you're right.
Yeah, and I talk about that in my book, Medicrats, on page 79 and 80. And that's why I believe that Obamacare passed and Hillary Care failed, because Hillary Care was socialized medicine. Obamacare is fascist, okay, because they have used the big insurance companies, the big pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
And they've all endorsed it, you know, to get a quote-unquote seat at the table. You know, they didn't realize, of course, at the time that they were going to be dinner, you know, at that meal. But so we started MetaBid, and what it does is a few things. For, a U.S. employer that has a self-insured benefit plan, when a corporation purchases a new computer system, a new security system, just about everything, they tender it out, okay, and they usually get two or three bids. That's not how we buy medical care. And the problem is, in this country, we don't buy medical care, we buy health care. And when we hear healthcare reform, it's really reforming the insurance, or, you know, and it's, insurance isn't even a good word, you know, the payment system for medical care, and it has no regard to the actual costing and pricing of medical care. So it doubles down on a system that was broken, that doesn't have competition, that has price fixing and lack of transparency and lack of competition, because under the current system, doctors are almost prohibited from competing. It's based on price fixing. So we introduce transparency and competition, and not only within the U.S., not only across state lines, but also internationally.
It's fantastic. And I know you're friends with Keith Smith.
Yes.
Who's done wonderful things towards lowering prices and offering services to people in Oklahoma as a physician and with a lot of other physicians.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Keith is a good friend of mine. He's also on MetaBid. We've got others that you know, look to Keith as a great example, which he is, and they're trying to do something similar to what he's doing in other parts of the country. So we have them on MetaBid as well.
You know, Ralph, isn't it illegal in the U.S. for a doctor who's participating in Medicare or Medicaid to take a private payment? I mean, I think we're very unusual in that even socialized medical systems, typically don't they allow a physician to have a private practice? But that's illegal in the U.S.
It's illegal for a doctor who's participating in Medicare to accept cash from a Medicare patient for a covered expense, okay? So in other words, if somebody's 65 and covered by Medicare and they want Botox treatment, that's not covered, so they can accept cash for that. But if they want a knee replacement, which is covered, it's illegal for that doctor to accept cash for that treatment. And that way, it's exactly the same as Canada.
Oh, dear. Well, and of course, as you point out, in fact, it's my understanding that the Affordable Care Act, so-called, of Obama was actually written by the big pharmaceutical companies and their lobbyists and by the big insurance companies and big hospitals and, of course, the AMA and all these interest groups gathered together against the rest of us and all very happy to have the states step in. They think it's going to benefit them, and I'm sure it does in some ways. And, of course, as you point out, in other ways, they get hoist on their own petard.
And the reason it's so dysfunctional is, you know, each of these big lobbying groups, as you point out, big hospital, big insurance, big pharma, each and, you know, big medicine and AMA, of course, they only represent, I think it's fewer than 10% of practicing physicians in the U.S. There are more than that that are members, but some of them are medical students and, you know, medical director at Blue Cross and teachers and stuff like that. So actual practicing physicians, it's right around the 10% mark. But they wanted a seat at the table, and they endorsed it in exchange for some sort of favor. And everybody wanting their piece, you know, got to write a couple of chapters, I guess, is probably what happened. And that's made it really dysfunctional. And as you know, state, we're all going to be paying for that because of that. One of the biggest things that I touched on just a minute ago is, you know, the problem is that the product we buy as healthcare, which is the payment system, it's not medical care. If you buy the actual medical care and cut out the, you know, all of the special interests, all of the middlemen, and you let the doctor set their own rates and you pay them at the time of service instead of them having to send a bill and get it repriced and downcoded and wait, you know, 3 months sometimes for payment, the rates are surprisingly competitive.
And that's certainly true of the doctors who in this country typically associated with the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, AAPS,
right,
refuse to participate in any third-party medicine. So they don't take money from insurance companies. They certainly don't take money from the government. They take money from the patient, and their prices, as you say would be true throughout the economy, their prices are far lower than the poor guys who are participating and have a vast staff of employees to fill out, you know, the unbelievable number of forms, which, of course, is vastly increasing right now. So what you're doing is actual medical care from the correct free market economic perspective. And, of course, it's not health care, as you point out, in socialism. Mises pointed out, you know, many, many decades ago, that probably the key problem from standpoint of socialized medicine or any kind of government medical program was that it diminished the will to health. And of course, health care is really our own individual responsibilities.
Yeah.
It's medical care that we want to buy if we need it.
Exactly.
We certainly don't want the government determining for us and making us pay for it what's healthy. Because, of course, the stuff that they determine is, of course, typically unhealthy, whether it's all the mandatory vaccines and all the big pharma drugs, mm-hmm. all the stuff that they promote. Has nothing to do with, in my view, very little to do with medical care. It's all a political health care question.
Exactly. And each state has its own medical board. And that medical board, you know, for example, I'll give you a good example. We hear politicians talking about buying health care across state lines. And they're partially right, but they're mostly wrong, because they're really talking about buying insurance across state lines, which isn't going to have a large effect. It's going to have a small effect, especially now that we have, you know, more or less national health care. Because if you buy an insurance policy in Shreveport, Louisiana, and you start using it in San Francisco or Manhattan, it's going to trend up based on the cost of medical care. Okay, that's the driver. That has to be the driver, because that's 80 to 85% of the costs. Okay, now when you cross a state line for medical care, it makes a huge difference. For example, in Minnesota, a colonoscopy has to be done under general anesthesia, whereas in Wisconsin, it could be done under sedation. So obviously, there's a huge difference in cost because in Minnesota, it has to be done in an actual surgery center or hospital, whereas in Wisconsin, it can be done in a doctor's office. So here's where it pays to cross the state line. There's other things, of course, that the EPA sort of disallows in the U.S., or the FDA, you know, things like HIFU, which is high-intensity focused ultrasound, a very effective cancer treatment for prostate. Hyperthermia, which is also disallowed in the U.S. by the FDA, but it's available overseas, which is a very effective treatment for breast cancer. When the special interest groups get involved, you don't really know their motivation, but it's usually going to be connected to the money that they can get. If they can get a third-party payer system to pay, then you know they're going to get them to pay for the most expensive thing. And with the medical loss ratio under the ACA, what happens is the insurance company has to spend 80 to 85% of the premium on medical care. So therefore, they only have 15 to 20% for overhead. What this does is it drives prices up. Because let's assume that the average policy costs $500 a month. If they are given, you know, 20% overhead, that means they have $100 per month for administration. If they take steps to reduce the cost of that policy from $500 to, let's say, $250 by increasing deductibles, copays, et cetera, it's still going to cost $100 to administer it. So the incentive is to keep it up. One of the things that we've done at Medibid is we've changed the annual deductible to a monthly deductible. Okay, and that reduces costs. And of course, the insurance companies don't like that. They don't like the cost reduced because they count on a high cost to get a greater margin on that 15 to 20%.
Well, it's, you know, it's terrific. Does anybody ever stop to examine the American medical systems that are entirely run by the government, whether it's the VA, whether it's the military medical system, whether it's the Indian Health Service, the public health service hospitals and so forth? These things are all horrendous. They're like something out of Kafka.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're trending. And we have, I noticed doctors more and more getting involved in what's criticized as boutique practices, but it's actually, of course, private medical care where they will offer for so much a year service and even house calls and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose there's always a chance that things like that are going to be outlawed. I mean, what is your what's your prediction for what the future holds for these pockets of free market medical care? Are we all going to have to go to another country eventually, Thailand or whatever?
I think that's the possibility, and that's one of the motivators in starting Medibid, and that's why I actually just returned from Thailand just on Saturday. We were out there visiting. I've got a hospital, which is Bumrungrat Hospital. It's a five-star hospital. Every surgeon is either UK or US board certified. They have the newest technology. I think the time will come when we'll have to leave the US for medical care, just like they do in Canada right now. As doctors respond, they say, you know, with all of the overhead required to bill a third-party payer, I just can't make ends meet. And doctors are going out of business. They're being forced out of business. They're being bought up by the ACOs. So the only way for them to respond and to provide the kind of medical care that they want to, the kind that Dr. Marcus Welby used to provide, is by, you know, charging a membership fee and then offering concierge medicine. That way the patient can get the care that they want, and the doctor can actually make ends meet, and then they provide extra service. I think that it is possible that at some point in time, as we get more and more into the doctor shortage, the government might say, well, as a condition of having a medical license, you have to see Medicare and Medicaid patients. Now, those two programs, it's interesting. When you look at the data from the U.S. Census Bureau and from CMS, which is the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, they break down the costs per enrollee for Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance. And I looked at it I haven't updated my numbers for 3 or 4 years, but in round numbers, Medicare costs per enrollee are about $12,000. Okay, now they are, you know, people at 65 and older, so that's going to be higher. Medicaid is roughly $8,000 per person, and private insurance is roughly $4,000. So when you compare the private insurance to the Medicaid, the demographics are similar. The ages are similar. Medicaid, well, they're poorer people, but they're the same age group. Why does it cost twice as much on the government program than it does on private insurance?
Although also, as you point out, this is, of course, not actually insurance. I mean, if we think of how normal insurance works, whether it's fire insurance or life insurance and so forth, they're able to look at the group as a group and through underwriting and analytical methods, they're able to pretty much understand how many people are going to die
right.
in this particular age group, this particular state of their health, and they can base the premiums on that.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, health insurance is not actually insurance. It's something mandated in conjunction with the state. And that's been true, by the way, even the original health insurance in World War II that began as a way of when the income tax went up to more than 90%. It was a way for companies to provide tax-free income to people. That's how the whole medical, company provided so-called health insurance
right.
began.
Mm-hmm.
So even that was the government. And I just want to mention, too, that although we can certainly denounce Obama from now until the cows come home, and rightly so, the Republicans have been horrific on this, too. I mean, it was actually Eisenhower who began federal intervention into the medical care system. And Reagan and Nixon, and the two Bushes were both horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
They were all
Absolutely.
Horrendous.
Yep.
So people who might think that, gosh, if we could only get the Republicans in, it's going to change everything, that's not true. In fact, some people point out that Obamacare has many, many similarities to the Republican national health plan that was introduced as competition to Hillary's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, as you say, a fascist plan rather than a socialist plan.
Right.
Neither of them, of course, got passed. But this is – so what Obama did was he adopted basically the Republican plan, involving, of course, big corporations close to the government and so forth. And so when you hear the Republicans, denouncing this, well, they would never actually repeal it. They believe in this sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Whenever you have politicians, politicians are in the business of staying in politics. So to do that, they have to give free stuff to people to keep them voting. And that's how, senators like McCain has been for, how long has it been, 40 years that he's been a senator, or 45 or something like that. And they just get so entrenched in that Washington, D.C. bubble that they just don't even understand reality anymore. The government has no business in medical care or health care. Okay. The free market can and does work. On Medibid, we're getting prices that are half what the insurance companies pay and about 80% less than the retail prices. Okay. So it shows that the free market works. And if it doesn't work in the U.S. because of overburdensome regulations by the FDA, then we can go to Mexico or Canada or Thailand or India. Everything else is global. When you look at the effects that Travelocity has had on the price of travel, and Hotels.com has had on the price of hotels, and even Match.com on dating, we can do the same thing by shopping for medical care online, having the transparency and the competition. It works in everything else, and there are the naysayers. One of my favorite quotes says that intentions and innovation go through three phases. First is ridicule, second is violent opposition, and then finally, acceptance as having always been self-evident.
Yeah, that's true. I must say I've heard a lot about this quality of medical care in Thailand. I've known people who've gone there for surgery and been very, very pleased, and of course, save a huge amount of money, and also they can have a vacation on the beach too if they're interested in that, and still it's far less money.
Oh, absolutely.
Than dealing in the U.S.
Yeah, but we do have very good doctors in the U.S. like Keith Smith, and there are a bunch that are just looking up to him as an example and doing the same thing. So we're also getting much more competitive. There was a feature on the Today Show where one of our Medibid patients went to Texas from California for a hip replacement. And he actually accepted a bid from the highest doctor, which was $21,000. He had some bids for $14,000 within California. But the reason he went to Texas is the doctor that bid on his care said, listen, I'm not going to be the cheapest, but I do things differently. It's minimally invasive, which means I don't cut through the muscle, which
oh,
means
wow.
recovery time is quicker. Now, this patient had a construction company small enough that he had to be lugging 2x4s and climbing ladders with the crew. So he couldn't afford to be off 6 months for conventional treatment. He was told by his insurance company it would be $100,000 for the traditional treatment. He got it for $21,000 from a doctor in Texas.
Well, it's fantastic, and I think it's very exciting what you're doing with Medibid, Ralph. And, of course, we're going to link to your website and link to your book. And congratulations on what you're doing. I mean, you're the kind of entrepreneur who's able to go around the government. I mean, the government, as evil as they are, they're very stupid.
Yes.
Somebody who's nimble and smart and motivated by the market, of course, can get around them. I'm only going to disagree with you on one thing. You're too sweet to the politicians.
Oh.
It's not that they get caught in the bubble. They're monsters to begin with, because anybody who wants to exercise power over other people is a bad guy.
Right.
I don't care what his party or whatever. So that's definitely McCain, right? He's
worked
for the government his whole life.
Absolutely.
Creep. But Ralph, thanks a million. And this is very, very interesting.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate what you're doing in keeping people informed of, free market alternatives and libertarian views. You know, I was talking briefly about the political situation. They have in Thailand about 15 political parties. The current one that's in office, and I actually looked at Wikipedia, and it was kind of, semi-accurate, is a fascist system. They give rice subsidies to the farmers, kind of like the Obama phones, okay, to stay in power. And the official opposition is the Democrat Party, but it's not like the Democrat Party here. It's actually a conservative libertarian party that is trying to oust the current government. So,
great.
And they have a lot more freedom than we have today. Not more than we used to, but the way it's going, we're losing our freedoms every day. So I appreciate what you're doing and trying to keep the freedoms.
Well, congratulations to you, and thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks a lot, Lou. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye, Ralph.
Bye.
Well, thanks so much for listening to the Lou Rockwell Show today. Take a look at all the podcasts. There have been hundreds of them. There's a link on the LRC front page. Thank you.